We've turned the tape, and we're finished with music. And I ought to say that, without any modesty, this is not a performance, this is a letter. If you saw the conditions under which we're writing this letter, you would see why we are not being modest by saying it's a very amateurish attempt to talk to you and convey a few thoughts. My next book is called The Lovers. I'm completing it now. I conceive of this book not only as a reading book, but as a hearing book. It consists of a very brief foreword, about three paragraphs, which tell the reader that in this book, a follow-up of Sonnets of Love and Liberty, he finds sonnets put to work alongside other forms, from folk song to prose. And the book is divided into seven parts, which demonstrate the use of various forms in juxtaposition. So we begin, for example, with a brief section consisting of translations from the Chinese, from the Nibelungenlied, from Dante, goes into a original poem in unrhymed verse and a sonnet. Now the none of this first part is scored, so to speak, for music, but I conceive of some of it as being played to a background of music. For example, there's a poem there about machines, which should have a jazz background when heard. Let me go over the opening part with you very briefly, because it'll illustrate the technique that I'm using. The Chinese folk song, for example, dates from 3000 BC. It starts off, "When the sun rises, I go to work. When the sun sets, I go to sleep. After I've cleaned out the pits, I have enough for a beer. After I've worked in the fields all day, I have enough for a bite. Ah, where's the heart of the emperor?" The Nibelungenlied I will skip. And I'll also skip a translation I have made of a sonnet by Dante. And go into the unrhymed words, which follows the Dante sonnet. "So a poem is a machine," said Dr. Williams, "made of words. So, from an exposition of power and industrial machinery, I made the following." Well, here's where you should have a jazz background. All you'll hear will be machine words arranged by me. "Open float inspirator and injector. Super simplex pulverizer. Gyrating cruster. Armature spider. Quick change chuck and collet. Clipper belt lacer. Expanding lathe mandrel. Non-return vertical indicator, multi-world baffle, cement slurry, metallurgical slimes, carbon steel hand taps, precision high-speed ground thread taps, two and three fluted taps, short diabs, long diabs, for the man who makes his own dies." We then move into a section from which I will not read, although there may be some of the best poems in it. It's called, it's a section of sonnets. And I quote, by the way, I quote in each of these sections, I preface each section with a quotation, which may be of some interest. For example, the quotation at the beginning of the book may have some bearing on the title. It quotes from Emerson. We must all be lovers, and at once the impossible becomes possible. To the reader, the opening that I just read some of, a quotation is from Randolph Bourne. "The world will never understand our spirit except in terms of art." And the sonnets, which I'm not reading, have a dedicatory quotation from Lewis Mumford. Real life must be lived simultaneously on many interpenetrating levels, unquote. Now, after the sonnets, we go into a section called The Innocent. And in this section, I have used frequently the interjection or juxtaposition of folk song or other types of non-Lowenfels in connection with poetry of my own. For example, I open up with a poem from The Innocents derives its title from the fact that all the people in it and all the episodes are supposed to be innocents. And the first one is about Indians. It's called Bushkill Falls, and I'll only read a section of it to give you an idea of the technique. Bushkill Falls, Pennsylvania, very well-known waterfall, as I hope Alan and Betty know. The first part is Indian, and the next part is me. Neither spirit nor hawk, that was my voice you heard last night by these willows, calling Wacoba, Wacoba. Yes, this is the secret spring the Indians used to visit. The woods cover up the sky here. It is a sound place to make magic. The waterfall was there when you were asleep. Indians used to trap around the bend. Yes, that's the wigwam your ancestor blew to hell for $1.50. Neither wind nor wolf rustled the willows last night. That was my blood you heard calling, Wacoba, Wacoba. I'm going to move now into a different usage of the same type of interjection. Just a few words from a poem called Words for an African Melody. And this is supposed to be sung. The tune that's very well known to some of you is Wimoe, which you have recorded by Pete Seeger and the Weavers. Wimoe, Wimoe, Wimoe. Can your wife, did they beat you? Was your husband gone? Did you refuse to talk? Did they open your womb, take out the child? Wimoe, Wimoe. Flame, pillar, can your wife? Though your breasts are severed from your breast, your heart never changes. We weep with joy, remembering the gift of your body and the freedom of your dreams. Wimoe, Wimoe. Betty just asked me, the words are mine. The Wimoe are the only words of this song. I'm not giving the melody because I can't sing it, but the song simply uses the words Wimoe. And what I have done is supply words to go with this song, which is just limited to the words Wimoe. I'll move on a few pages to a fragment that I'll read you from a poem called For a Six-Year-Old Girl. In this we have interposed with verses of mine the song Lost, Skip to My Lou, My Darling. I just want to give you a bird's eye view of the type of technique I'm talking about. I'm not trying to put over these poems, really, because I'm too tired and it's hours late and Betty has to wait for a bus and supper's ready and so forth. It's just an indication of the type of technique that I've developed in this book. Now, this poem begins with some words of my own, and then you should hear somebody singing. If there's a singer out there, he'll know what I mean. Everybody but a city street loved you. Everybody but a wild animal truck loved you that struck you dead with one savage thrust of its 10-ton claw. Lost my partner, skipped to my loo, my darling. Why weren't you playing in country fields? The dark pansies and the first white and purple violets of spring, where six-year-old girls belong. Never be anyone pretty as you, never be anyone pretty as you, never be anyone pretty as you, skip to my room, my darling. And it goes on with this technique. I'll just read the last part of it. And other children, even a six-year-old girl, someone loves as we loved you, lives on in somebody else's spring. You stole my partner, what'll I do? You stole my partner, what'll I do? You stole my partner, what'll I do? Skip to my room, my darling. I lost my partner, skip to my room, I lost my partner. A somewhat similar method is used in the poem in the section for Hart Crane. Some of you may remember that the verse in this part was Print of the Nation last fall. Now, in the production, this poem as a production, we're supposed to hear a ballad singer sing the well-known chanty, Blow the Man Down. So I can't sing it. So it starts off, oh, blow the man down, bullies, blow the man down, Timmy Way, I blow the man down, oh, blow the man down, bullies, blow him right down. Give me some time to blow the man down. Forgive him, sea petals. Remember him not, as you will not. Lift by the wave, sea molded among the conches. His straw was in the wind, running like an idiot with moss in our ears, devising plans for killing rats, for evading stenches, stabbing for the heart, to sustain himself among the walkers and the riders and the heaven-born. Whether he's white man or black man or brown, give me some time to blow the man down. Oh, blow the man down, bully, blow the man down. Give me some time to blow the man down. Huh? I got the long tune on that one, Barry says. Well, the point is to give you the indication.
Hey,
well,
you don't want to skip to my little all the time.
No.
Read a little of the Rosenbergs.
So we go on. The next section is about the Rosenbergs. It interweaves a sonnet with the walls of Jericho, which I will not read. We go into a section called, the next one is called The Innocents. And here we have a mind ballad based on a ballad of a well-known mine disaster many years ago in this country called Avondale Mine Disaster. And in here, there's a very strange counterpoint that I can't explain, that maybe I should read it to you. It might show up better. I'll read the song. I won't try to sing the song. I'll put you some jazz on there. This is not to be produced for company. This is a letter. If I were producing this, I'd have to have a singer to sing the accompaniment. These are two-part poems, and sometimes they're choral poems, as you'll see later. They're productions. They're not produced by Lowenfeld. Lowenfeld composes them. He doesn't produce them. He doesn't have the voice and the equipment, and he's not a chorus. Good. So we open, this is for a ballad singer supposed to be accompanied by either a ballet or a film strip of a mine disaster. And you're supposed to see a non-representational vision of a visual production of a mine disaster, with women in positions of waiting and bodies being brought out and children running around, and the ballad singer sings. Good neighbors all, both great and small, I pray you lend an ear and listen with attention while the truth I will declare. When you hear the cries of the widows and children, it will cause you to weep and wail at the terrible end of many a friend in the mine of Avondale. It was methane gas blew up the pit, took the lives of many good men. The flames died down. We counted the missing, and the dead were 110. Will you think of them, nor let your mercy fail? Be a father to the orphans and a friend to Avondale. Lillian, the innocents. There are 10,000 times 10,000 of them. Tonight their hands beat across our bed, reaching for another inch to live, asking, were we lovers or blind mouths, deaf to screams of singing to mouths, built and battered by the hard heart of a child? But children in their innocence, ask the crowd where they roam. Tell me, where is my father? Why did he not come home? Lillian, above graphs of casualties, out of charts of executed, nameless faces of innocence, one more Jew beats the living daylights out of singing tomorrows, until I believe all beautiful things get busted jaws and brains beaten out with bullets to be rehabilitated in the morning. May you always think of them, nor let your mercy fail. Be a father to the orphans and a friend to Avondale. I skipped some of that, but we're making haste here. We have about 5 minutes more. I'm moving on rapidly. I'm turning the pages of the book. I haven't read any of what probably is the best verse in the book, the sonnet. Let me get to the end here. Toward the end, we have American Voices number 2. Well, this is a strange book. American Voices number 2 comes before American Voices number 1. But in this section, I quote from Eisenstein, Sergei Eisenstein, the moving picture director. He says, the juxtaposition of two separate shots is not so much a simple sum of one shot plus another as it is a new creation. Stronium 90. The spring of the H-bomb test. Sonnet. Spit from the fireball's endless revenge explores our children's children's arms, heads, legs. Rescue, oh, rescue that unborn innocence from burning headlines of this day of days. H-bomb may make mankind sterile. Telling the world a kind of spring is here, bringing us cobalts to redeem our age. Or do we give up loving in our fear of unborn children tattooed with its rage? I thought I saw them, children of the sun. I thought I saw them lifting up their hands in rows of unborn from the earth. I thought I saw them marked with strontium. I thought I saw them, children of all lands, raging at us, the lovers, for their birth. We're moving ahead rapidly now, skipping more of the best poetry, just to give you an indication of the technical means I've employed in this book, of the juxtapositions. Now, toward the close of the book, we have a section of jail poems, which winds up with a juxtaposition of a folk song, a chain gang song called The Hammer Song, and a sonnet. Well, I don't know how I can produce this, but I'll try. It opens up, in fact, it's two sonnets. It opens up with my verse in a sonnet mood, but not a sonnet form, and then moves into a sonnet itself. Finally, take this hammer, carry it to the captain. Take this hammer, carry it to the captain. Take this hammer, carry it to the captain. Tell him I'm gone. Tell him I'm gone. It's supposed to be sung. Then I speak, the poet speaks. Paper, pencil, prisons, unparceled time, to write the love song of our age, especially for you. I dreamt it last night, a green field, under a tree, a white cloth spread. We, the prisoners, host to you, dear countrymen. Miners we knew in West Virginia, mothers we knew from Arkansas, sharecroppers we know from Mississippi. Throughout our land, our guests today, this toast, this beaker, brewed especially for you, from our heart's blood, especially for you. The the singing is supposed to come in. If he asks you, was I running? If he asks you, was I running? Tell him I was flying. Put your manuscript away, Horace said. Keep it 9 years. Do you hear the bloodhounds, fangs snapping, howling? Not their wild sounds frighten us. We are still an inch ahead. Sing. I don't want no cold iron shackles. I don't want no cold iron shackles. I don't want no cold iron shackles around my leg. Around my leg. That's it. The ground of liberty is won by inches. With the people of the world we advance. Take this hammer. The sun cannot rise alone. It too is trailed by time, our room for human growth, our right to live the love song of our age, to reach tomorrow's kiss, to touch love's hand tonight. Then take this hammer, this time, this street that lengthens, this, dear Horace, narrow, tight embrace of freedom, years, man, seconds so sweet. Take this hammer, carry it to the captain, tell him I'm gone. I'm leaving out the very end of the book, which is American Voices 1, and uses a revision of the poem that you may know, I'm sure you remember, American Voices, the one about using the letters from the papers. In this one, I have interposed the song Tending the Night and changed the whole character of the poem that way. As you'll see when you see the book. I also give an example in this book of prose that he uses as a poetic form. I'll just read you two or three sentences of this prose. Alan may remember some of it. I've changed some of it. Who cares what song dinosaurs sang? Not yet, these matters are not a tempest in an inkpot. Cowrie shells from the jet-aged will be spaced with arrowheads in the museum alongside Madison Avenue's skulls when some Council Americanus will be clicking gum ridges and expelling air through his teeth trying to teach the language one more song. There was one crime only a poet can commit, not to be a poet. This crime humanity never forgives. We expect Mozart to complete his requiem on his deathbed. We demand from Beethoven the vast music of his deaf years. We never forgive Berlioz for not writing that symphony, which he tells us he heard, but decided not to write, because he couldn't afford the money. We expect poems from a poet, no matter where he is, transport, not persuasion. For the poet's craft is not a branch of authorship. It is the stuff of which our lives are made. Reason is reason, acts as acts. Discreetness destroys us. When we enjoy being alive among the deeds, and reason is reason, lives among the myths, when we enjoy long life among the high constructs, while our earthly constructions simultaneously endure, when we build our greater dreams so that they become visible to the eye, when we live not naked like the emperor by having a dream of great cloth, then we may ride through the streets of the new Persepolis. It is this dream that we have to make our history provide. The goal of life isn't socialism. The goal of socialism is to live. How can we have fear? How can we ever be alone? We are the age triumphant. We are the trumpets the ancient prophets foretold. The voice of victory, the triumph of history. The victory of science, of reason, of humanity, of love, of all inhuman things. And with this, I close my letter.
Just listening?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.